everybody. Welcome to Hobbs and Friends. I am your host, Jason Hobbs, and today I have with me one of my favoriteest people from the old G-plus days. I always kind of wonder, I get him confused because he does a lot of stuff, zining, blogging, podcasting. The guy is just like everywhere, I think. Anyhow, before further ado, let me introduce to you Tim Shorts. How you doing, Tim?
Good. Thanks, Hobbs. Thanks for having me on.
I'm really excited, man. I talked to you like 2 years ago about being on the show, I think.
Yeah. Well, something like that. Yeah. Cause we've been kind of trying to get schedules together and it just hasn't worked out until today.
Yeah. I asked a whole bunch of people. I had a big list and now I can't find it. And so, you know, whatever. It doesn't.
I'm the only one who's, I'm just low on the list and found me. Okay. We'll have them on.
That isn't true at all. Anyway, I mean, you're one of the original guys, I would say. So, this is interesting. So you're known for Gothridge Manor. What the hell is Gothridge Manor?
It actually came from a character I was running for a long time. There was this, I can't remember which game it was. I want to say it was one of the Mage, The Ascension, Vampire the Masquerade, the whole White Wolf thing back then. And I was playing an immortal guy, kind of like a Highlander kind of individual that my friend made up a character class for. And his name was Vander Gothridge. And he was one of those guys who would just kind of, he would do anything because he knew he could live through it. So we had our group attacked Egypt and they didn't want to do it. I'm like, come on guys, it's just Egypt. Let's do this. And I just took the name and kind of, I liked the name a lot. So I just kind of ported it to different things. And then I just ended up with it on with my blog. I think Ivy came up with the actual name for it. So she's the one who came up with Gothridge Manor itself.
Nice. So there is the mystery behind the legend of Gothridge Manor. All right. So I usually talk about how we met, and we've never met, right?
Not face to face, no. Because nope, just online.
Because you just punched me if you saw me. That's what everybody says.
They were just behind you. Wow.
I'm just kidding. So on G+, I don't even remember how long ago it was or when was the first game that we ever played together. Do you know?
I think the only game, the first game we played together was the one where I was running the Corbin Dart one with Glenn Seals. We did the play testing.
Was that before Matt's?
I don't know.
Bad silence.
There's around the same time, I think. I heard right. that, but I'm not sure.
No biggie. So I feel like you were on G+ in the beginning. When did your blog start?
Yeah. 2009 or 2008, something like that.
Oh, damn. So that is pretty early.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever actually read your blog.
Well, sometimes I don't either, so I don't get that. I hear that a lot, Jason. Thanks.
So, you, when did you, I guess I don't want to get into all that stuff. Let's get through this stuff and then we'll do that later. Like all the different things you did and like what your timeline was and maybe give people I like to talk when I talk to the old grognards, the neo grognards, really, what their timeline was with their blog or their zines or podcasting or whatever. So let's get into our weekly gaming briefly. So what have you been playing in the last week or two?
It's been, just me and Joe, actually, Joe the lawyer. We were like Monday nights. God. I know. It's cool, though. It's kind of interesting because you and I were just doing the solo gaming back and forth there for a little bit, too. So you can really get into some depth and some detail. So on Monday night, it's my campaign where I'm doing an urban crawl through the city of Scorn and kind of fleshing out my city and just kind of experimenting with a few things on how to run more of a city-based campaign than a dungeon or hex crawl campaign. So it's definitely been interesting that way. And then on Thursday nights, Joe's running my guy through, or I should say my third guy through. He's killed me quite often. through his, I think it's Five Lakes campaign, and it's kind of a hex crawl type of campaign also.
Did that replace Blood Island? Joe's not doing, I guess I should have Joe on here if I'm going to ask him about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, Blood Island had, like, you had to read, like, a 732-page manual of all his rules that he had stipulated before, and all the different things that went in there, and then you had to sign this and sign that, and yeah, it was a whole document. He doesn't have Joe the lawyer, you know, lawyer as his moniker for no reason there. No
what system are you guys using for that?
Both of them are old school essentials.
Nice. Shout out to old Necrotic Gnome there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So I should say I'm playing some old school essentials. Lost in the God on my Tuesday night game is back after a couple months hiatus. And I got some people playing Kalmata again. People are gluttons for punishment in the old Kalmata. And that's why we love it. What else am I doing? Oh, I'm playing Second Edition, which I stream on my Twitch show. I'm actually playing in that. Two different campaigns, man. One is the Legacy of the Crystal Shard, which is like 100 years after all those Crystal Shard books. You know what I'm talking about? Crystal Shard, nope. Streams of Silver. It was like in the Forgotten Realms. It's where Drizzt Do'Urden showed up.
I never read any of those books. I couldn't handle reading them. I'm sorry. I was more of the earlier age, you know, like Thieves World. And
well, I read all those too. I didn't just stop reading.
Yeah. Well, I started reading other stuff. I got out of fantasy for some reason.
I understand. Yes. Anyway, Drizzt has not showed up in the campaign. Like I said, it's 100 years after those things. And I guess it came out in the D&D Next playtest is where this campaign thing came out. So we're playing that. And then we're also a different campaign with the same GM is The Night Below. You know what that is?
Oh yeah. I have the box set.
Yeah. He's using that The Night Below and we're using Second Edition to play that. So.
Oh, that's cool. I've never played that. That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty fun. So that's like four nights a week. We're playing.
I know. I saw your schedule, dude. Man, my God.
It's like, it's crazy. So for sure. Oh, and I'm also playing Low Fantasy Gaming. Have you ever played that before?
I have it. I've never played it, but I have the first, I didn't, not the second edition, but I have the first edition of it right now.
You see my sweet backdrop?
I do see. I saw that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's pretty exciting. Yeah, anyway, I really enjoy it. Pretty cool. So I'm doing that on the LFG Discord. I'm trying to run a game a month for those people. And then, gaming and BS, I'm going to try and run some for that. So that's pretty much it, I think.
Cool. That's it. What, you run out of days or games?
Pretty much. And then I try and get some interviews in here and there, maybe a screed or two while I'm working, you know. All right. So here we are. Let's finish up this introduction at, Everything About You. So do you want to go first? You want me to? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think I've listened to an episode or two.
All right. You might've heard one before. All right, good. Yeah. So, I like to bleed out little things about myself that you may not know. I don't know what there could possibly be left after all the crap I talk about myself, but this year I will be 50 and, I don't know if I achieved anything, but it seems like it's supposed to be a milestone, right? I never expected to live to be 40. So 50, I feel like I got 10 extra years, dead man walking. So
absolutely. Congratulations. Yeah, I mean, that's great. Join the club.
But, yeah, thanks, man.
Hey, it beats not turning 50. I'll tell you that.
that's better than the altar. Well, I mean, I could be turning 20 or something like that.
Well, that's true, I guess. So.
What about you, Tim? You got an all everything about you?
Oh, I guess probably my little claim to fame back in the days, back in, what was it, 89 and 90, I tried out for the Steelers. You know, I went to their training camps and everything like that, and gave it a shot. Didn't make it, though.
What was that like?
Actually, it was like the first year was very kind of confusing because I was just, you know, because I think I was 20 years old. You had to be 3 years out of high school to even participate. And so I had to get used to all the way their stuff. And you do a lot of training ahead of time. So the training part was the grueling part, trying to get everything ready just so you can just be able to show up. And then, so the first year was kind of confusing learning how to do it. And then the second year, I kind of knew what was going on. So that it was a much better experience.
Awesome. I thought that I've heard you mention that in the past, but I wasn't sure exactly. Yeah. Did you do the Steelers just because you live in that area, or did you live in that area before? Or?
Yeah, I mean, so where they did the tryouts, Matt, it's only about, I think it's about an hour and 15 minutes away from my house, maybe an hour and a half or whatever. And plus, that's, you know, I'm wearing the hat. I'm just a Steeler fan too, so that didn't help or hurt matters either, so.
Right. That's cool. But all right. Awesome. So far on the show, just for those keeping score, we've had a guy training to be a professional wrestler and now a professional football player.
Yeah. But didn't the guy who trained to be a professional wrestler actually make it?
It was Jose. So I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I can always forget what his ring name was going to be. Oh, all right. Anyway, let's get into the main topic. I need one of those main topic buttons, you know, like the air horn or something. Bah, 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 bah. Main topic. No.
You can just do that every time.
I think I do, but Brasco edits it out. All right. So this is kind of an old topic that I wanted to, not that old, but near the end of G Plus when people were talking about old school gaming and what was making it be less viable than it used to be or how it had changed. And what I'm talking about is old school gaming as a cottage industry. So both of us are kind of DIY guys who kind of sell our stuff. So it would be great to talk to you, you know, a year or two after that first came around. And I wanted to get your ideas or thoughts on the subject. So I guess that I don't remember who it was that wrote this originally. It might have been who's the guy who did the OSR symbol? Somebody help me out.
The OSR what?
Stuart Robertson. That's who I'm thinking of.
Oh, the symbol. Oh, right.
Yep. I remember, I think it was him or someone in that group of people who said that the OSR had turned into a cottage industry and that was going to kill the future of the OSR, stop the movement. Do you know what do you remember all that or no?
Yeah, kind of. I don't give it much of that kind of talk attention. So I mean, I like Stuart a lot and everything, and everybody's got their own opinions on the matter. But mine's more important than everybody else's today.
And as it should be. Right, so yes. I guess I should tell some people who don't know you. I don't know if there's anyone who listens to the show who wouldn't, but so what's all under the shadow of the Gothridge Manor umbrella?
Well, of course it all starts with a blog there, which is very neglected, but I've been trying to keep up to date with some posts and some interesting things there. And then under that, of course, I have the Manor, which was my zine that I put out for a while. And it's still back there. It's not like it's gone away. It's just that, you know, just hasn't had time to bring a 10th issue out, which I really want to do. And then I have my Patreon of Micro Adventures. And I guess my most recent foray was into Kickstarter for the first time for Zine Quest, which was, well, that was a fun experience. I did it. That was a lot of fun.
Let's go back a little bit. I said I never read your blog, but that's not true because recently you were going through OSE and actually reading the spells and comparing. Mm-hmm. Are you still on that project?
I am. I am. Waylaid there for a little bit. I even have Remove Fear in the queue and everything, but I'm trying to figure out how to do it without being so negative about the spell, because it's almost like a useless spell in OSE, just because there's nothing in OSE that causes fear except the spell itself.
There's nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness. All right. So I had it on here. How did you get started with your own little cottage industry? Like the blog came first and you said that was what, 2008 or 2009?
Yeah, then, something
along. Then like what came next and why? What, the zine came next probably?
Actually, I released an adventure called Knowledge Illuminates, I think in 2011. And I just did that one on PDF, just a small adventure. And then what ended up happening is Christian Walker released his Loviatar zine, which I absolutely love, still one of my favorite zines. And I learned the magic of a long arm stapler. And I was just like, I went out and bought a long arm stapler. And then I started making my own. That was pretty much it. I ran out and got a duplex printer too. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you do all the stuff at your house. Like, yes. Why don't you tell us about that? Your zine. Well, when did the manor stop? When did you stop doing the manor?
The last manor I put out, I think it was 2 years ago.
Oh,
something like that.
That's a good
one. Yeah. I mean, I still want to get some more issues out here and there, but like I said, finding the time for that is difficult these days.
I was going through some of your patron stuff and I think I have every NPC card except 1 through 6 or something like that.
Oh, we'll have to remedy that then, huh?
Yeah, I think I have them all but that, but maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. What is your, I mean, I guess, why did you transfer from the zine over to the Patreon and what are you trying to accomplish with that?
Patreon it's just being productive. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The cash doesn't hurt. I mean, getting some extra money in every month helps because I have a bit of a addiction to gaming books. So it helps supplement my, gaming.
What do you mean?
What does that mean? Yeah. So that's really the original reason why I got into it. I think I got into it originally because Matt Jackson, he had his map one. And then I just started getting on this thing of doing the micro adventures, real short, one page things, so people could, prep a real quick situation or adventure, 5-10 minutes, and boom, you're ready to go. And it just worked out. And it gave me a reason to color maps. It gave me a reason to write goofy things, and people would pay me for it. And then I used it almost like a subscription based in a way, because I would send people physical copies of it, different pleasures. So yeah.
What's the experience been like compared to, cause like the zining and the Patreon are kind of similar, I would assume. Like, mm-hmm. I
mean, yeah, they are.
We want to talk a little bit about that. I mean, which one do you like better? Are they the same to you? What do you think about the people who get both or, say something about
that? Well, I mean, I kind of do mini zines with my Patreon at the same time. There'll be some that'll have some extra pages in there and whatnot, but like the zines, of course, require more time, and I like to get original artwork for it, which is a different cost than anything, because I like to try to pay my guys as much as I possibly can with that, because I want them to make money, and I want them to come back too and draw more cool stuff for me. But with the Patreon, I've got a lot of stock art that I can use, that can throw in there just for some flavor things and whatnot. But for the zines, like when I'm doing like a zine, I like to try to find more original artwork. So I guess that would probably be the biggest difference.
Okay. That's cool. So do you feel like it changed for you? I know a guy once told me that he liked to do a bunch of stuff and had patrons and did zines, and then he felt like too much of a job. Has that ever happened to you?
No, because mine is I only get paid as if I produce something. So if I have like a month where I need to take off, it doesn't cost anybody anything. So, and I let them know, I talk to them on there and let them know what's going on and that. And then the other thing I should kind of tell about my Patreon too is like everybody can get it. Everything I've ever released on my Patreon is free. There's nothing, you don't have to buy anything. All the PDFs are there. I just had one guy, he asked me for a link for all the stuff because he doesn't want to go back and download everything because it'll take so long. Because I don't know, I'm probably getting close to 190 different releases on there.
190. Yeah, that's
around that. Yeah. And it helps me keep producing, it keeps my mind going, and I can produce these small, you know, small adventures or NPC cards or different things like that. And just something I like to do.
So when you did your Kickstarter, what made you decide to do that? And, how do you feel like it went?
What made me, I just wanted to try. I guess it's something I hadn't done yet, and I really wanted to try it. And ZineQuest just gave me the perfect excuse to do it. It was, you know, it's right up my alley. So I was like, oh, this is, yeah, I want to do this. And then how it went was phenomenal. I didn't expect it to be anywhere near successful as it was. My goal for myself was to hope to at least get 100 pledges. And that would, you know, that would have been great. And I would have been completely happy with that and called it a success. And then I think I was just short of 600. So way over what I expected.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now you've done all these things. Well, you haven't actually fulfilled it yet though. Right. So we can't really
say. No, thanks for reminding me of that.
We can't really call it a success yet. Cause you haven't fulfilled. I haven't got mine. I know that.
No, I think one of the things that happened is I had like a lot of stuff written and everything. And then it seems like everybody who gets in a Kickstarter, something horrible happens and then they have trouble. But like this whole pandemic thing hit. And so it switched my schedule up pretty severely because I'm considered an essential worker. So my hours just went nuts when that happened. And then of course the stress level or whatever, you know, just kind of, so my ability to put things out were kind of declined. Now I feel like I'm kind of used to the new norm now and kind of getting back on my feet with that stuff.
Oh, that's great. I wasn't trying to bust your balls. I just occurred to me that I didn't have it. So I thought I'd ask you. Yeah. I had you here like a captive audience, you know? So.
Exactly.
All right.
But so I got Joe, the lawyer's doing some editing for me. So he's really cleaning up all my crap. So it's working out well.
Wow. I would feel like that would be a bad move to get a lawyer as an editor because don't they like, aren't they really wordy? And aren't you trying to like, you know, cut back?
Oh, I had to talk to him about that. I did. We're trying to decrease the word count, not increase the word count. Yes.
All right. So this is kind of an amorphous topic that I really was trying to get to. What do you think? I would say some people would say that the OSR is dead or it's changed enough that it isn't what it used to be. And do you think because of that, the movement shifting to this cottage industry where everyone was like, hey, I'm going to try and instead of just giving all my stuff away on a blog or posting it on G+ or putting it in a Google Doc and sharing it to everyone or Dropbox, because we did that back in the day as well. Do you think it's had an effect on it that people are now trying to do everything through patrons or selling zines or doing Kickstarters for, you know, ZineQuest? What do you think? I mean, has it really affected things or not?
Well, it's definitely changed through the years. And I think OSR, you know, when it first started, basically everybody knew everybody. It was just sort of a contained echo chamber in a way. But now it's kind of splintered off into, you know, smaller groups that I would still consider OSR in a way, but they're kind of doing their own thing. There's still a lot of good stuff that's being shared for free all over the place. I mean, people are always still sharing things. And like I said, all my stuff that I put on my Patreon is free. Nobody has to buy a thing and you get everything. But I mean, look at the, you know, if you want to bring up the Emmys, the award thing, look at how much stuff from the OSR has been recognized as really, you know, some amazing products that have come out of it. We've got a lot of creative and a lot of skillful people in our gaming, whatever you want to call it, gaming group or whatever the OSR. And they can put out some amazing stuff and otherwise it wouldn't be shared out there. And I think because that's happened, there's still more people joining us all the time. There's still more people who are coming back to old school type of gaming. and giving it a go and checking around, seeing what it's all about, because they're producing cool shit all the time.
Yeah, some people are, I mean, some people say that 5e will never be the gateway to old school gaming, but I don't think that's true. I mean, I know there's people in the chat right now that are playing Kalmata or whatever that played 5e and then they heard about OSR or old school gaming and they were like, oh, I want to come into that. What do you think the chances are that we could change it from the OSR community just to the OSR gaming group? Would we get less crap if it wasn't called a community and it was just called gaming group?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Why not? We'll do it that way. We'll just go with the OSR gaming group. Yeah. It sounds less intimidating, doesn't it?
It's at least a word that explains what we're doing, that, because I mean, you can't always control your gaming group, but they'd say the same thing. Oh, the GM's responsible for kicking out the bad players, right?
Right.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. All right. So I guess so you've already done, you never really talked about your podcast that much. What caused you to do that?
You.
Oh, not me.
Yeah, I'm blaming you, Hans. Yeah. You're the one who introduced me to the Anchor app. And then I'm like, because I know I was, right before that, I was looking into different options for podcasts. And I even talked to Sean from Gaming MBS about like some equipment and some different ways to maybe approach it. And he was very generous with his advice. And then basically when the Anchor app came, it just kind of changed everything. It made it much simpler because I tried to use Audacity and some other I can't remember what the pod was, it called aggregator, whatever it is, and it didn't work. I couldn't figure it out. It sucked. So but the Anchor app, all I do is I get on there lunchtime driving home, I just kind of do, what do they call it, guerrilla podcasting, and I just kind of do it my ride home and I'm done and load it up and boom.
Yeah, Anchor put the D&D podcast back 10 years, I think, was the was the
headline. I was personally going for putting it back 15 years, but, you know, only 10, I guess I'll take that. But, you know, I was going for the more, you know, static radio stuff and whatnot. Yeah, that was funny when you said that. I did like that, though.
All right, so... let's talk about what's next for Gothridge Manor. Someone might have mentioned somewhere very recently that there's talk of you like putting your Comor Forest in a single book. Is that right? When's that coming out?
Oh, yeah. Apparently, you're reading over there on the side because I can't read all that stuff. as far as I know, it's not happening in the near future anytime soon because I have a Kickstarter I got to finish up. And that's what I've been working on the last couple weeks and everything, really putting into, trying to put that in overdrive, get some things done and straightened up, and no more new projects until that's done.
That makes some sense. Is all of your stuff from the patron and from the Manor zine and the Kickstarter, does all that take place in the Comor Forest, or am I just imagining that?
No, I mean, probably the last... three and a half years, something like that, most of it has been in there. Before that, though, was just sort of I never had a generic setting, but it's kind of interesting, though, because I feel like my writing of the adventures, and once I had a place to ground it, stuff got better and I could make connections with things. I don't know. It just felt to me like my writing became a little bit more easier to do once I had a setting to put all these adventures into.
And are you going to like have something from Scorn pretty soon? Are the patrons going to see something from that?
They might. Yeah. Cause I'm thinking about doing I have micro adventures, micro locations, and then I have my NPC cards, and there's a few, things from my game with Joe that very easily could become micro locations that I might release and everything. Been a lot of fun doing those.
Wow. All right. So I don't really know how much we got into it. I don't know if you actually answered my main topic question exactly. You just said that was okay. Changed. The old school gaming has changed, but is this this cottage industry? Is it going to get bigger? Is it going to get worse? What do you see the future being for like us DIYers or like other people trying to get into it or anything? You got anything you want to say about that?
I only see it expanding, actually. I mean, with all the technology we have today, you know, an 8-year-old kid can draw a map, type it up, and put it on RPG Now and, you know, sell a bundle of them and everything. There's no reason why that should, I mean, if you got to buy a gaming book for $60, like, the one game, you know, why not earn your money instead of mowing yards, write an adventure?
Well, anybody could try to sell anything, but someone has to buy it, right?
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, you put it out there. I mean, it's work in itself. The writing is one part, and then being consistent and then just letting people know it's out there. And I think that's the hardest thing with the self-promotion. And I think that's what people get probably sick of the most is when you get spammed by people who are selling or promoting the Kickstarters. And I know sometimes I get like a little overwhelmed by that, but I'm not on social media a lot. I need to have those reminders that they're out there because there's so much stuff out there. If one of the people I know is putting out something new, I want to know about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I think it's only going to expand, Jason. I don't see it decreasing. There's just too many opportunities out there and too much good technology out there not to take advantage of it.
So many ways, right? Streaming is a whole nother thing. There's not a whole lot of OSR streaming stuff, old school stuff going on. So I feel like they're just waiting for me to do it. Just like Anchor, they're just waiting for me to do it, screw everything up, and then come in and actually do good stuff. That's
right. Let's watch Hobbs. That's see what kind of landmines he runs into and then go from there. Exactly.
Let that guy go. Just give him a long rein and let him hang himself. All right. Yeah. All right. So I got a new instead of the status of the OSR, I have a new segment on the show we've been doing for the last few. And so I've got a question for you. So you can choose either one of these or both. Like, what do you think your legacy in the old school is? And if you died, what would your epitaph be concerning that?
Okay.
All right. Like, what would be on your gravestone? You know, he came and saw, he took a pee in Comor Forest. I don't know.
No, probably, Tim rolled another one. Something like that.
Hope you roll, that would be it. Hope you roll better than me.
Yeah, I hope you roll better than me. With a big D20 with a one on it or something like that. Yeah.
Just your regular tagline. So, all right. What do you think about what's your legacy in the OSR? I mean, I don't think people usually talk about Gothridge Manor as a, they don't say like, oh yeah, he's that guy with that blog. Like Courtney, you would say he was a blog guy, Matt map guy. You know, there's a bunch of people, me, Big Mouth, I don't know, dumb shit who changes his mind too often. I don't know. People have different things. What do you think yours is?
Oh boy. I don't know.
Pencils, I guess colored maps. Yeah, maybe? I don't know.
Colored maps. I don't know.
A lot of people do that like you do.
No, I guess not. No, I guess because a lot of people know how to use computer programs to do it. So if it's true, if they can do it, I don't know how to use this program. So I have a bunch of 99-cent Crayola crayons from Walmart that I use that I can't erase once I do it. So
you actually do use crayons? I thought you'd colored pencils.
Oh, they're Crayola colored pencils.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They work really good though. There's different ones. I actually upgraded to some fancy ones whose names I won't embarrass myself trying to pronounce because I'll screw it up. So
you mean like the colors, like chartreuse and stuff or fuchsia?
I got lots, Jason. I don't know what the colors are. There's just lots of different ones.
I'm just kidding. Hey, you know that role better than me, the more we think about it, that's like a great thing to say or put on to think about. Hey, in your life, roll better than me. You can tell your kids that or your dog.
But it's not hard to do with me.
Well, you know, it can mean, you know, multiple meanings or whatever.
I know it can. Again, they set the bar pretty low on that.
Oh my goodness. I feel like all I've done this show is laugh. All right. So I think we killed that. Let's go on to the outro. And you know how important it is to show appreciation to your patrons and the like, right? All right. So I always give three shout outs, and you guys are going to laugh at the first one.
I know. I heard. I saw it.
Alessandro Bertolucci. Nobody knows that guy, do they? Yes, we do. Yes. So thanks so much, Alex, for being a patron of Hobbs and Friends. Alex also played in a game with me and Tim and Matt Jackson. Yeah, he even got in the game with Joe when Joe and Tenkar were playing in that group. So
yeah.
Alex, start resting and get back into playing some D&D, brother. But don't stop being a patron. I'm so bad at this. Also, Andrew Merrington, thank you, sir, for being a patron. And Roger Braslett, one of the two main gamers that I've ever... Do you know Roger? You remember Roger at all or no?
Yeah.
Yep. From the G pluses, right, everyone? So those are the three shout outs for this episode. And if you want to be a patron like these fine fellows and get a sweet shout out, you can go to www.patreon.com/OSRNHobbs. So you want to pimp your patron?
Sure. It's Patreon. I forgot what the hell I'm going to call this. Tim Short's Micro Adventures. If you go on there, it's on there somewhere. And got a couple different levels. You can just do the whole tip thing for a buck, or you can get in at $5 and I'll send you stuff in the mail pretty much almost every month there. So yeah, it's fun to do.
Tim is on top of his advertising.
I am. I know. I told you promotion is not always the easiest thing, and I'm lousy at it too. So yeah.
I should also mention any music that you hear on Hobbs and Friends comes from TJ Drennan, and TJ Drennan has a Patreon for bumpers, and he can do individual music, anything you want. And I don't know what his Patreon's called, but his name is Timothy Drennan. Are you a patron of his or no?
No, not of his.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's crap.
I'm a patron of yours. Don't give me shit.
You're right.
Back off.
All right. So if someone wanted to go deep inside your manor, how would they get in touch with you, Tim?
I'm on Facebook now. They haven't kicked me off yet. I think I'm just under Gothridge or Gothridge Manor. I can't remember which one. And then I guess that's about it. I guess I'm on MeWe too, but I don't go on there very much. Not much going on there these days.
What about an email? You got an email for people?
Yeah, you can reach me at elder_sensa@yahoo.com. That's on my Patreon and all the stuff that I kind of send out too. So feel free to email me. I get some email through there pretty regularly. So I appreciate the folks who contact me there. So
nice. So if I'm actually on the Twitters, at OSRN Hobbs, or my personal account is at Hobbs Indeed. And you can contact me on there. Most of the people that I have on there are interchangeable. I actually made 1,000 followers on Twitter not too long ago.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? I found the secret. You just follow a bunch of other people and they follow you back, and then everyone has more follows.
It's not all those porn bots or something like that who are just following you, filling up your numbers.
We're not gonna talk about that. This is a PG-13 show. I also have a MeWe and Facebook groups. They're just called Hobbs and Friends. And you can always get in touch with me on the Audio Dungeon Discord.
Oh yeah.
Which has tons of awesome people. And it used to have some of these cool people who are actually in the chat on the Twitch stream. But some of those guys just gave it up. They're too cool for school, and they didn't come around anymore. All right, Tim, I think we've beat this dead horse about as much as we possibly could. You got anything that you want to tell the Hobbs Goblins and members of the gamerhood out there?
Keep gaming, guys. I know we're going through a tough time, but good time to get together with some friends all in line and have some fun, man. Take advantage of it.
That's right. All I can say is we all got jobs to do, and don't let COVID beat you. Let's take it away, TJ.
It's a beautiful day in the game. Oh, a beautiful day for my gamers. Would you be one? Could you be one? Sound of that thunder, but don't despair. This holiday's breeding great robbers. Would you be one? Could you be one? If the native has served mortality, maybe works for you. For a few bucks a month, you can sign up and have the hogs kill you. So let's make the most of another someday. Brew up some coffee and play it my way.
The views, information, or opinions expressed by those interviewed during the Hobbs & Friends podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Hobbs & Friends and its staff. Hobbs & Friends is not responsible and does not verify for accuracy any of the information contained in the podcast series, available for listening on any platform of delivery. The primary purpose of this podcast series is to educate and inform its listeners about the tabletop gaming industry. This podcast is available for private, non-commercial use only. Advertising which is incorporated into or placed in association with or targeted toward the content of this podcast without the express approval and knowledge of the Hobbs & Friends podcast creator is forbidden. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast. The developers of the Hobbs & Friends podcast site assume no liability for any activities in the connection with this podcast or for the use of this podcast in connection with any other website, computer, or playing device.